Well, I've got to record this during the service with all that was going on this morning. It was a great time together with our Methodist friends and some of our At 11 as well as visitors. But I'm just going to record a short message based on what I said this morning for those of you who want to listen. I'd be interested if anyone does listen to this. So do feel free to let me know if you do listen or have listened to the recordings, but I'll keep it out there anyway for those that want to find out what our church is about and perhaps miss a week or two and want to catch up. So let's pray. Lord, take my words, speak through them, take our minds and think through them, take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In our reading, Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And there's a wonderful clip on the new Alpha film series videos where they interview a number of people around the world and ask them, who is Jesus? And we get lots of examples to I don't believe he existed, to oh, he plays on the right wing for Chelsea, to he is the son of God, or he's the great teacher. Different examples. I'll try and put a video link below this so you can watch that. And then he turns to his disciples and says, "But who do you say I am?" And in church we ask one another that question: who is Jesus? How do we speak about Jesus to others? Who do we say he is? What do we say he is? And we had a discussion time, which you can do with someone else, I'm sure. C.S. Lewis, I return to often for this question. He says we've got three choices. We can either say Jesus was mad, he was deranged, he didn't really know what he was saying, he was ill in some mental way. We could say he's bad. He was deliberately trying to deceive people. But Lewis says if we discount Jesus being mad or bad, then the only thing left for us to say who he is that he is God. Because of what he says about himself and what others say about him, that is the only option. But even if we accept he is God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, still we need to be careful. In our reading, we hear the disciples coming to that point of saying, "Yes, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah." Not just a reminder that Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it's who he is, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Christ being the Greek for the word Messiah, the Hebrew word Messiah. And as they recognize that, they have this idea of what the Messiah is going to be and do, the Jews at that time, and so they place all of their expectations of the Messiah on to Jesus. And this is where Peter comes and begins to rebuke Jesus that he shouldn't be killed, that's not their idea of what a Messiah is going to do. And he gets short shrift from Jesus, who looks at the rest of the disciples as well. And you can imagine him recognising that this is a view that they've all come to, but they've got Peter to say the words. Anyway, the danger is still there for us to take a fixed idea of who God is and try to fit Jesus in to that mould, as it were. This is Tom Wright who puts this forward. We mustn't superimpose our views on God onto the person of Jesus. It's a bit like, and I use the analogy of a conker, if we look at the outside of a conker shell and decide we know what's going to be in the middle from what we see on the outside, spiky and green and a bit manky really, but actually when we open it up, we see the conker seed inside is beautiful and shiny and brown and white. And if we begin from the centre of the conquer, then as we work our way out, we begin to understand why it needs that hard shell. But actually the hard shell has got a soft white inside as well that protects the seed. So when we begin from the centre, we then get a better impression of the conqueror as a whole. And the same is true of God. Jesus came to show us who God is, what God is like. And so if we begin with Jesus and then extrapolate from Jesus what God is like, that helps us to get an understanding of the true God. We look at Jesus and we see the one who wept at his friend's tomb, the one who washed the disciples' feet, the one who freed people from slavery of sin, slavery of past relationships, slavery of illness, slavery to our love of money. We look to Jesus and see the one who reached out to young and old, rich and poor, reached across cultural and other boundaries. We look to Jesus and see the one who suffered to show his love, as he predicts in our Bible reading today. He's going to suffer and die, but he's doing it to show love. When we put these things together, the more we know about what Jesus did and said, the more we see who God is, that he's a God who's for us, a God who wants to free us, a God who wants us to wash others' feet and to serve others, and a God who we recognise as the one who suffered for us. So once we've chosen him as our Lord and our God, how can we continue to follow him as he encourages us to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow him? Well, three points I want to bring to that. First is, how can we grow more like him? We need to read about him, refresh our knowledge daily if we can, read him from the Gospels to see who Jesus is and what he does and says. Even if we think we know the stories, it can be really refreshing to go back and reread them, and we'll find something fresh. I certainly find that every time I reread the Gospels, something fresh, something new. So first thing we can do is read about him. Secondly, we need to relate to him. We need to come to him in prayer and offer who we are. I guess that's part of denying ourselves and looking to him, making him the centre rather than us the centre. When we look to him, we begin to rely on him as we pray and as we offer him our lives. So first we read about him, second we relate to him, and thirdly we need to reflect him to others in our ways, in our words. And that it might be well be our taking up the cross. There will be sacrifices, but actually if we truly follow him and if we recognise him as our Lord and our God, then there'll be sacrifices worth making. Reflecting him to others, relaying his love for us and the world. So firstly, let's read about him and continue to read about him. Secondly, let's relate to him and continue relating to him in prayer. And thirdly, let's reflect him to others, and taking all that we know about him, all that we know of him and that he knows of us, and reflecting him to others. And then we will, I believe, we'll be following in his encouragement to us to follow him, to lose our life maybe, but for his sake and for the sake of the gospel, we'll be saving it in the long run. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You call us to understand who you are and who you want us to be. Guide us and lead us on, we pray. Help us to read about you, to relate to you, rely on you, and to reflect you to others. In his precious name, amen.